Hello and welcome to a very special episode of The Laydown. My name is Ryan and I am absolutely delighted to share with you this interview I did with New York Times bestselling author Lisa Scottolini. She's written over 33 novels and her latest is called What Happened to the Bennets, and I absolutely loved it. Lisa and I had so much fun chatting and I wish we'd had more time, but I'll take what I can get. Please enjoy this interview with Lisa Scottolini. Hi, Lisa Scottolini. How are you?
Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing so well. I'm thrilled to have you here.
You're just so fun to talk to. You're adorable.
Oh, thank you. So I finished What Happened to the Bennets last night. But for my listeners who have not yet had the chance, because it's not out yet, tell us a little bit about the new book.
Oh, my God. Well, thanks for having me. And thanks for reading it. That's way too nice of you, because I know you're busy. And the headline is that basically it's the story of an American family who's driving along one night, and then there's a carjacking that goes horribly, horribly wrong, and they find themselves in witness protection. And I kind of wanted to look at, you know, the witness protection program was designed to protect criminals, not families. Yeah. And so when you're taken from everything, you know, we all had this horrible pandemic experience, and it varied in some ways, but at least we had the internet. Right. You don't even have Zoom, and you have to leave your family behind. You have to leave your mom behind. And I wanted to look at what hardship does to a family. What is the effect of justice on a family, you know, and how do we kind of in a way become heroes? Because in a way, I think they do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I really love that Jason, the father, is this totally average suburban dad. He literally says at one point, I'm just a dad, but he becomes a hero. He becomes almost this like action hero. And I wondered if you wanted to kind of expand on that idea of like everyday heroism and like average people rising to this idea of heroism.
Right. And I didn't start with that, but that is really in a way where I ended up, you know, in my career, I've written like 33 novels and the first 20 were all women. I mean, I grew up on Nancy Drew. I love all these books behind you. I love books. I can't wait to see this bookstore. And I, because women had been second bananas in novels for so long, and honestly, to a certain extent, still are. Yeah. So, but then I said, well, you can write a man. Like, you were close to your dad. You've married and divorced twice. Yay. Wow, you got this figured out, kid. And so just jump right in. So then I just started to write this because I thought, you know, I have such a crush on this character. You know, he's like, he's a husband material personified. Mm-hmm. And a little bit, I thought, you know, but he's also flawed. And to a certain extent, he's trying to grapple with what is a hero. I love superheroes. I go to all those movies. I've read a lot of those books. And so you kind of like, we're all trying to figure out what is he has to define for himself what is a hero. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to clue into fatherhood, that I was so close to my own father and I miss him all the time. And what role did he have in our family? Why did it work so well? What did it give me? And how does it dovetail with being a hero? You know, we think Iron Man's a hero, but maybe just your dad's a hero. Mm. He just starts to think of himself like one. And certainly the pandemic and this awful Ukrainian war, we are all going through so much now, and families everywhere trying to figure out how do we get through? How do we survive? And that's what I really ended up having this family do in this book.
Yeah, no, I love it. I spent, and I told you this on Twitter, but the first four chapters, I was listening to the audiobook with just tears in my eyes and a lump in my throat as I'm, you know, experiencing this terror and panic and grief that the Bennets are going through. And then they get, you know, they start to settle into witness protection. And I found that whole thing really fascinating.
Right? Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, like, for, you know, 10 or so chapters reading that, I was like, I would honestly be happy if this was the whole book, just like learning about witness protection and like them dealing with it. And then of course there's another twist and things keep happening, but it was really interesting trying to imagine myself in this situation. Like, if I don't know, like if I was told I had to go into witness protection, I think I would, just because I'm the type of person who wouldn't question it. I'd be like, well, yeah, okay, you tell me I have to do the thing. I have to do the thing, I guess. Do I have an option? I don't know. But it's such an interesting premise of, like having to say goodbye to not even say goodbye, having to just disappear.
No goodbye. Right. I was so wild because the more research I did, I was like, people have to do this. And I thought it was interesting because they end up going to this place and there's a ghost forest. And I was like, this is like, and essentially they ghost everyone they know. She has to ghost her mom.
Yeah.
And there, everything has changed. How do people go through, like, we think the pandemic was so awful and still is, you know, I have people who were very sick, but we all feel dislocated, but at least we have, I can be on Zoom and see your adorable face in this great store and, oh God, we're connected.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine you don't have any of that. I was like, how do people do this? And you realize that witness protection and the research I did with the FBI was so fascinating and kind of like it was designed to protect criminals who don't have these connections.
Yeah.
You know, they're happy to be saved and taken away from people, you know, but here's a family that didn't ask for this, that isn't engaged in a life of crime. And you want to tell a kid he can't go to soccer and he can't be on with, like, can't be on Snapchat and can't. And,
right.
And what is the price you pay? And how does this dad, how does this family that certainly goes through this crisis, which can either break you or make you, and does a little of both to them, mm-hmm. how do they survive? How can we survive?
Right.
That's what I was looking at.
Yeah. And they're dealing with the tragic death of their daughter, which is mm-hmm. horrible. And then I love that there are those, like, neighborhood crime junkies who are trying to solve their case. And you're like, if this was a different story, I would be rooting for those people to
right.
But you're like, no.
Well, it's so funny because I love social media and I am on Twitter. I'm on Twitter the most. I don't know why. That's a different story. But maybe because it's a sentence and not a picture and who needs a picture. I dress, I shower for you, Ryan. I'd rather talk to you on Twitter, right? So no, I don't mean that. But yes, and I love that people, look, my whole career has been writing about crime and justice. So I love that people are so involved in true crime because the reason is everybody is interested in, like, what is justice? What's wrong and right? What happened to this person? Why did someone kill that other person? It's so awful. And so, but in this book, you realize the interplay and you see it all the time. For example, there was a recent trial where the jurors got a notification. I forget what it was one of the January 6th insurrectionists. Okay. They got a notification. Oh my God, now we have to nullify this trial. What is the impact of social media on the justice system? And it actually impacts this family who is trying desperately to survive in this awful circumstance. And then there are these true crime bloggers who, well, through their industry and their brain power and their starting to would be our factor. Now, I've been writing crime fiction for a long time. I never had that before. That's 10 years ago. But then again, I never talked to you on Twitter before, right? So,
right. Yeah.
Both ways. It's good and bad.
Totally. Yeah. No, it's crazy. And it's funny because I just a few weeks ago spoke with Lisa Gardner, and her main character in her current series is basically just an average person solving crime. It's so funny that this is like the times that we live in, that we have social media solving crimes. But in this book, you're like, okay, you're doing great. But also if you could, like, stop, because this family is in danger.
You're doing amazing, Moana. Well, I kind of love it because I love the times we live in, as hard and as trying as they are. I love that, for example, all the things are more open.
Yes.
You know, like book reviews, you know, like here are you, right? I mean, I care about the opinions about my book. I always did. But when I started, there was like, you tried to get a review in a newspaper.
Right. Yeah.
But the truth is, everyone's opinion matters. I've been a reader since forever. My opinion matters. Mm-hmm. I go on Goodreads and BNN.com and I read NetGalley and I read about what people think of my books. I care very much. And it helps me, or it makes me feel terrible. It does help me. And I go, oh yeah, I cheer for them. I love them from afar. I can't say anything. I never do. But I love how wide open our society is. I love that we are inclusive. Reading is about empathy and connection. And so it's great to me that you're doing this, for example, Ryan, and that people can have views. And so of course they can solve crimes. Where do you think, you know, I mean, why not ordinary people? We can be heroes. I think that's a song.
Yeah.
I didn't steal that, but.
Yeah. No, that's the other thing is I was trying to think, like, if thrown into this situation, could I, you know, rise to the challenge? And I don't know. Do you think you could, like, if you were in Jason's position?
Well, like, I believe, you know, I just have written historical fiction called Eternal, and it was about living through Mussolini's time. And it was a little bit like what I think I learned about that. And it helps me is that I think we all could, because it's really true that if you have to, you will.
Yeah.
And so people undergo unbelievable hardship. You know, we're seeing the Ukraine, but these poor people are going through, but still they huddle together and will play a violin song to each other. Mm. And you go, that's what that strength and that empowerment. When you talk about how you define a hero, you start to look for it in yourself. And Jason goes, maybe a hero is just a dad who solves a problem. And you go, oh my God, that was my father. Mm. That was my father. Yeah. And that's so good. Mm-hmm. That gives me hope for all of us.
Yes, it is very hopeful. Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's absolutely.
It's inspiring. Like, we really are the answer. We're our own answer. It's
absolutely.
Up on my own book. And also, you're so nice to talk this.
No, I loved it. I loved it. I was completely wrapped. I couldn't stop listening to it. I loved every character. I loved the whole plot. I was totally
you listened to the audiobook. I love audiobooks. Audiobooks are so wonderful.
It's the best.
Eduardo Bellarini is wonderful. I requested him. I'm lucky enough.
Oh, cool.
I know. I listen, little Miss Bossy here. After 30 years in this business, you get to say this, not that. And I'm a little this, not that now. And I'm very honored that he narrated this book. He did an amazing job with Eternal, and he's great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I loved him. So taking a slight turn, there are some very good dogs in this book. And I know you showed me some of your dogs earlier, but I wonder if you could tell our listeners a little bit about some of your animals, because I know you have a few.
Well, I live on a farm in Pennsylvania, so you don't have the time to hear about all of them. I got three dogs. I got two cats. I have two horses. Sadly, I lost a horse this year. That was hard. But I got 14 chickens. I have the oldest chickens in Pennsylvania. I'm just telling you. I have chickens that are 16 years old.
Oh, my God.
I know. These girls, man. Now, I'm not going to say they get a lot of eggs, because I have a chicken vet, believe it or not. And I take the hens to them. He said, you're the oldest hens I have. Because I love them very much, and we take very good care of them.
Yeah.
And they're great. I used to have a nursery monitor in the coop that I would have in my office. Because there's nothing more calming than to hear the heads going. It's really, and the eggs are great. You know, now the old ones, they're like me. We're all out of eggs. That's when you learn that you're like, all the eggs you have, you're born with. Like, so when you had to be my age, you have no eggs, you have no estrogen, you have nothing. But you can get a chicken and have a good time with them. Aww. I've become a vegetarian, of course. You can't kill anything, well, at least for me.
Yeah,
They're wonderfully smart, and they know their names. They know me. They know the. It's great. I'm very lucky and blessed in this life. It's it's a life in books, and you know, that's why I love talking to you, because you this wonderful smiling face and this bookstore behind you, and God bless Indies, and really wonderful that everybody supports this bookstore, because we need bookstores in neighborhoods. We really, really do.
Absolutely.
That's just a statement.
You
see it there and you go, yes, reading matters, because there's a book. I love that we still have a national book festival. I've done it several years, because you want to say, as a nation, books matter, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we really, really saw that in the early days of the pandemic, when the world shut down, people were still clamoring for books. They were like, we need the books. We need the escapism. We need whatever it may be that books are giving us individually. We need them.
I think they nurture us. I mean, Ann Beattie says a novel is a unified consciousness. I think you actually going towards another person, it's a reminder of our connection every time, especially novels to me.
Yeah. On that note, have you been reading anything good that you want to recommend?
I have been reading a lot of research books about Sicily, since my next historical called Sacred is about Sicily. But I will recommend an audio. Well, you can get this in a bookstore too. It's also a book. It's called The Lehman Trilogy. Okay. But it's actually an audio book by... as well by Eduardo Bellarini. And I must say, I thought it was really transportive. I've listened to it twice now, which is kind of amazing. I haven't done that before.
Yeah.
But I love stories.
Yeah.
And that's why I love audiobooks. And I love that, you know, this is the story of the Lehman family that came and founded the Lehman Banks and everything. Yeah. But it really ends up being a story about an immigrant family and how they change America and what they offer. And it really was very mythic. And when you look at the novel, which I'm sure is there, it's actually written, Salamini, I think his name is, it wrote it. It's in the form of a poem, which is a little intimidating. Mm. So that might, but it was really kind of remarkable and stood out. So I would really recommend that.
Awesome. I will look that one up. Well, I know that you have a very busy day of interviews and such, so I will let you go. But Lisa, thank you so, so much for chatting with me today. I'm so excited for What Happened to the Bennetts to come out so I can hand sell it to everyone because I loved it.
Well, you are too, too nice, Ryan. Thank you so much for that. And thanks for this. I wish we did have longer because you're absolutely charming. So I hope I get to see you up there someday.
You're welcome here anytime.
Thank you, honey. You stay well.
Thank you again to Lisa Scottolini for joining me on the podcast. What Happened to the Bennetts is out March 29th, and I highly recommend it. Since we both gushed about audiobooks, it feels fitting to remind you that you can use Libre FM to get your audiobooks and support your favorite local indie bookstore. If you use the coupon code LAYDOWN at checkout when you sign up for a new membership, you'll get 3 credits for the price of 1. Thank you for supporting small businesses. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com, and we're also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and I'll put those links in the show notes along with the books mentioned during this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye!